We need people who are well-educated enough to know what the Constitution means, what it says, how its principles work.
Dr. Robert George of Princeton University talking about his presentation on the Constitution and civic virtue at this year's virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
We need people who are willing to fight for those principles, to call out politicians, whether they're liberal or conservative, whether they are Democratic or Republican, when they transgress against the Constitution. We need a people who are fit for liberty and fit for the rule of law under a Constitution like ours, a Republican polity like ours, established under the Constitution. So I'm really going to be talking about civic virtue and its relationship to constitutional structures and principles.
You can watch Dr. Robert George's presentation at the 2020 Virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, July 24th and Saturday, July 25th. Conference registrants can watch live and on demand. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's being called a landmark school choice decision on the part of the Supreme Court. This court case called Espinosa v. Montana Department of Revenue may have done away with these troublesome Blaine amendments that have been in the past and in their distant past been misused against religious institutions. We're going to be talking about the Supreme Court ruling in favor of school choice. Michael Bendis joins us. He's senior attorney for the Institute for Justice based in Arlington, Virginia. The Institute for Justice represented the three plaintiffs in the case Espinosa v. Montana Department of Revenue. Michael, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hey, Todd. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Why is this, the court's action here, being called a landmark decision?
Yeah, it's being called a landmark decision because this is a tremendous victory for families throughout the country who simply want the ability to choose the schools that are best for their children. In many states, parents have programs that empower them to make those choices. But in many other states, there has been a legal cloud over school choice because of these Blaine Amendment issues that you alluded to at the outset. This case removes that legal cloud. So it removes the largest remaining legal barrier to school choice in many states, and therefore makes the adoption of new school choice programs much more politically viable in these states. And so we expect that this is really going to open things up across the country in terms of freeing legislatures to adopt programs that empower parents to make the choices concerning their kids' education.
Give us a history of Espinosa v. Montana Department of Revenue.
Sure. So, talk about programs that empower parents. That's precisely what the Montana legislature tried to adopt back in 2015. They adopted a tax credit scholarship program, and it was a modest program. It basically allowed taxpayers to claim up to a $150 credit for contributions that they made to private scholarship organizations. Those scholarship organizations, in turn, awarded scholarships to children who could use them to attend the private school of their choice, whether it was a religious school or a non-religious school. There was no question that this program was on solid federal constitutional ground. We litigated a case back in 2002 that upheld this type of program under the federal constitution. But nevertheless, the Montana Department of Revenue thought that the program that the legislature had just adopted ran afoul of the state constitution, and particularly a provision in Montana's constitution that is generally referred to as a Blaine Amendment. And paraphrasing a bit here, but the provision basically prohibits government from paying public funds to any school controlled in whole or in part by any church, sect, or denomination. So according to the Montana Department of Revenue, insofar as this program allowed parents to choose religious schools for their kids, it violated that state constitutional provision. So they adopted a rule limiting the program to only non-religious schools. We challenged that rule on behalf of three families with children who wanted to use scholarships to attend private religious schools. And we filed a case in state court. We made a number of arguments, and we won in the trial court. The trial court held that, in fact, the Montana Constitution did not prohibit the inclusion of religious schools, and that was great. The program could proceed as intended by the legislature, but the Department of Revenue appealed to the Montana Supreme Court, and the Montana Supreme Court reversed and struck down the program because, in its determination, the program violated this bar to public funding of religious schools, schools controlled in whole or in part by any church, sect, or denomination. And the court said that because this program was open to religious schools alongside non-religious schools, it could not stand in light of that state constitutional provision. And moreover, it said that relying on that state constitutional provision to bar religious options in a program like this is perfectly fine under the federal constitution, that there's no religious discrimination in saying religious schools need not apply or parents who would like religious schools need not apply. According to the Montana Supreme Court, it's perfectly fine for a state constitution to single out religion in that manner and render it incapable of receiving public benefits that are available to their non-religious counterparts. So we appealed that decision to the United States Supreme Court, and that's where we got a decision yesterday.
So does Espinosa, this decision, effectively nullify Blaine Amendments?
To the extent that Blaine Amendments are wielded as a weapon to attack school choice programs, absolutely. And that really is the main work that Blaine Amendments were doing up until yesterday. School choice opponents lost the big, you know, what had been the big constitutional question, the federal constitutional question, back in the early 2000s in a case called Zelman, where the U.S. Supreme Court held that school choice is perfectly permissible under the federal constitution. School choice opponents are a dogged bunch, so they retrain their focus to state constitutions and particularly these Blaine Amendments. And that is really the main function that Blaine Amendments have served in recent years, is to serve as a weapon to attack school choice programs, to deny educational options to children. And so to the extent that that is the work Blaine's were doing, yes, this does nullify them. That said, you know, perhaps there are certain other applications of Blaine's that conceivably might be permissible. Who knows, because those issues weren't involved in the case. But those types of applications of Blaine Amendments are much less frequent. Really, they were serving as a weapon against choice, and to that extent, they absolutely have been nullified.
Were principles involved that are similar to the equal access questions of the early 2000s? I'm thinking about Good News Club v. Milford Central School, where it was not funding or tax credits, but can you use or rent the facility?
Those types of cases were not directly involved because, after all, those are free speech cases. This was a free exercise case. But by analogy, some of the principles are very similar, yes. To the extent we're talking about government needing to remain neutral toward religion, meaning even-handed between religion and non-religion, not denying people benefits or the opportunity to access public forums on the basis of religions, certainly there's some kind of analogy there. Again, this notion of government needing to be even-handed and neutral between religion and non-religion. But strictly speaking, those cases were free speech cases, not free exercise cases. And so they didn't directly bear on the issues that the court resolved yesterday.
So how do you anticipate Espinosa will change the landscape for school choice?
It's going to open up certainly the legal viability and political viability of new school choice programs in many states. There are 30 some odd states that have Blaine Amendments in their state constitutions. And some of those states, the courts have said school choice is actually permissible, that it doesn't run afoul of the Blaine Amendments. After all, that is what the Montana trial court had determined correctly. After all, these Blaine Amendments bar public funding of religious schools, And, you know, our first argument is always, look, you know, these programs don't fund schools, they fund families. The government's simply providing scholarships to children, and their families decide where to use those. The government isn't sending kids to religious schools. So these Blaine Amendments don't even apply. Some states have taken that position before yesterday. However, other states, including Montana, have taken the opposite position and have basically held that these provisions absolutely prohibit school choice programs, at least to the extent that they include religious options. And in those states, which number in the teens, that issue has now been resolved. States cannot apply their Blaine Amendments to single out and exclude religious options in school choice programs or other student financial assistance programs. And so now that that question is answered authoritatively by the United States Supreme Court, the legal cloud over choice in those states is removed, which means it's now much more politically viable to get programs passed in those states. And we certainly expect new ones to be passed in the very near future.
So finally, in a nutshell, how was this case essentially, as you have said here several times, about the free exercise of religion?
At the end of the day, as Chief Justice Roberts put it in the majority opinion, this was discrimination against schools and the parents who would choose those schools based on religious status. The determinative question under the Montana Blaine Amendment, is the school religious? Is it controlled in whole or in part by a church, sect, or denomination? If the answer to that was yes, then according to the Montana Supreme Court, a family could not use a scholarship at that school. That is religious status discrimination, pure and simple. And as Chief Justice Roberts and the rest of the majority made clear yesterday, that type of discrimination cannot stand under the federal constitution. It doesn't matter that it's discrimination enshrined in a state constitution. The federal constitution trumps. And if the state constitution demands that type of discrimination, it must yield in the face of the federal constitution.
Michael Bendis is senior attorney for the Institute for Justice based in Arlington, Virginia. The Institute for Justice represented the three plaintiffs in the case Espinosa v. Montana Department of Revenue. You'll find a link to the Institute for Justice at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Michael, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Tom.
Pastor Will Wheaton joins us on the other side of the break. Our series with him, The Words of Scripture, continues. We actually continue a conversation from before about the word tent or tabernacle or temple. Stay tuned.
Timeless truth that prepares scholars to serve their neighbor in all of life through their various vocations. This is what scholars receive at Wittenberg Academy. If you are looking for a solidly Lutheran online education for your child, consider Wittenberg Academy, where doctrine is sound, academics are rigorous, and relationships are genuine. We offer full-time, part-time, and diploma-track options to meet your child's Lutheran education needs. We partner with brick-and-mortar schools and homeschools. You can find out more at wittenbergacademy.org.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Solid. Serious. Substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Our life together as the church after COVID-19 will bring new challenges. For example, we might be tempted to skip the regular gathering of God's people because we're more comfortable streaming it on Facebook instead. May it not be. Join the Reverend Dr. Mark Wood as he explores this theme in his article for the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness titled, Gathering Again, It Will Not Be the Same. Subscribe at cph.org/witness, The Lutheran Witness, Interpreting the Contemporary World from a Lutheran Perspective, cph.org/witness.
In Christ, you are crowned with glory and honor, and the fullness of that glory and honor awaits you in heaven and in the resurrection of your flesh to life and immortality.
Morning Chapel from Cramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
To him be all glory, honor, and praise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.